What's the source of wisdom? How can you live a more conscious life? Sometimes it's the questions that bring you your own quantum leaps. Wisdom Talk Radio brings you conversations with visionary thinkers, business mentors, and provocative authors and teachers, along with resources that point the way for you to claim your potential in service to the world. Join Laurie Seymour at Wisdom Talk Radio for explorations in conscious living. Subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcast or find us at Wisdom Talk Radio on Facebook.
Welcome to the Sensitivity Doctors Podcast. Here we explore everything from overcoming anxiety to living in a world not always designed for our sensitive wiring. Whether it's navigating business, parenthood, overcoming trauma, or getting what you want out of your relationships, we invite you to this empowering journey of self-compassion and growth. Sit back, relax, and here are your hosts.
Hello, I'm Dr. Amelia Kelly. I am a trauma-informed therapist, author, and podcaster who loves to share knowledge about anything related to mental health, empowerment, overcoming trauma, and high sensitivity. And I cannot wait to unpack this episode with you today.
Hi, I'm Jean, the founder and CEO of Figgy Life and Beauty. We specialize in gentle skincare for sensitive souls like me. And I am an anxious overachiever with panic disorder. So this episode is perfect for me.
Overachieving as supermom.
That's true. So, just to set the baseline, we're both moms, right? So I have a six-year-old little girl, and you have two kids.
Yes, three. I have to think because one is about to turn four. So three and eight.
Three and eight. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Boy and girl.
Yeah, I've definitely felt the supermom challenges sometimes, especially because I've always been super career driven, so I work crazy hours. When my baby was born, I had a C-section and I had 3 weeks maternity leave and I was back on a plane traveling all over Africa.
What?
Yeah, and she used to travel with me from the minute she was born. She's a wonderful traveler. She's amazing. She, But she's used to that, you see.
Right.
But there are so many elements to this. I mean, I just had the craziest night with my little girl. She didn't sleep at all. We have these, this time of year, there's these little small worms that grow in the trees, many of the trees here in Portugal, and they cause really bad allergic reactions. Like you've got to go to the doctor and get cortisone injections.
Like if you get bit or something?
No, it's actually just if you are in contact at all with the little tiny hairs. So if you step on them by accident and that comes into the house, you'll have a reaction. Like if you stand over it and the wind blows and some of those tiny hairs, it's crazy.
So it's this time of year?
Yes, yes.
I'm going to not come at this time of year.
So I think she picked that up somewhere and her skin has just been scratchy and achy. And then I got the call that she had a tummy ache this afternoon and she's at a summer camp she doesn't want to be at, and you feel so guilty because you're trying to work and you want to be a good mom. And so this is the perfect episode, and we have some questions from our audience this time.
I do. Yes, I fielded the topic out, and boy oh boy the responses. But I definitely want to, if you don't mind, say something about this super mom identity or topic. In a way, I hope that through this conversation, we can almost obliterate the idea that the super mom even has to exist or does exist, and be able to realize that at the end of the day, just mom is enough. Let me ask you and listeners, do you hear the birds?
Yes.
Should I close my window?
Oh, I think it makes a nice soundtrack for our listeners. I'm sure they won't mind.
I have it cracked, the window cracked, just to let air into the
air.
To the studio.
Yeah.
So,
yes, I think it would be such an interesting conversation to see how we also have both come to terms with this and how we handle it and what has worked for us. I think I've done a lot better with this in the last three to four years, but it will be interesting to see what our listeners say.
Absolutely.
And if it's the same, it's the same things we've been having challenges with ourselves.
And my hope too, through this conversation, as you and I have chatted about before, is realizing that the idea, this, the whole idea that there needs to be a supermom itself really should be obliterated. I mean, it's, do you know the holistic psychologist? I think her name's Nicole LaPera.
Yes.
She had a really beautiful post that she had put up about this topic and about how the idea that we need to even have supermoms is kind of reinforcing a negative belief system that you're not enough if you're doing these missions or these jobs or these things that you feel passionate about. You also have to operate at full tilt, doing just as much energetically in the mother role as well, without support, because then it makes you a supermom, and that's wrong. And that's something I think is important for us to unpack as we explore this. So
for sure.
Yeah,
I agree. So what's our first question? I'm so curious.
So as I fielded this out to folks, some of the things that were said, so Brianna from New York was saying that she struggles to feel dependent on finding the 50-50 balance between her and her partner. At times feeling like it's a woe is me sensation, or feeling if she has to honestly ask for help. And that sometimes she feels like she is a little bit broken in her way to do both work and domesticated role at the same time. And she puts a lot of pressure on herself to do it on her own. And so I think the main thing here is, what does it mean to ask for support and for help from your partner? And does that take away your supermom identity? Yeah. So what do you think?
Honestly, look, all the answers I'm going to give today are from my experience and also having to manage my panic disorder. And that's a very big reality in our household. And I would say for that, I don't believe in balance. I think balance is a myth. I think balance creates so much anxiety, and has certainly for me as well. I think life goes through ebbs and flows, and there are always going to be times where I'm more busy than other times, working later than other times. And there are going to be times where I'm less busy and I have more time for my daughter and I have more time for my family. And I'm trying to really be in that moment of, okay, I'm here now where my work requires more of me. I'm going to put everything into that. But, you know, I'm going to let my family and my child know that I do still love them. And in terms of asking for help from my partner, I honestly think it goes back to when you decide to have kids. Like, we were together, we've been together now for 20 years. So we were married for 8 before we even started the conversation of having kids, because we weren't sure. And we had many, many, many conversations on what is this going to look like, because I work crazy hours, I travel a lot, I'm not going to give that up, I don't want to give that up. So there needs to be a give and take from both sides. So what is that going to entail from you? What is that going to entail from me? And what is that going to look like? For example, I had a really bad bout of relapse just before my daughter was born. She was very ill. She stopped growing. I was very sick as well. I couldn't eat. Like, one of her lungs stopped developing. It was just really a horrible time.
That's scary.
And then I just went into this whole anxious, it was really bad. It was a really horrible time for me. And I decided that I was not going to breastfeed. I just can't do this. Like, I don't have the emotional capacity for it. I cannot be awake so much during the night. I need to be a whole emotional person for my baby. And I know that I cannot do this right now, because I had to go back on my anxiety medication. And this was one of the conversations we had. He would get up twice. I would get up once until I had healed a bit from my C-section, and then we would split it. He was the night owl. I'm the early morning person, so I took the early feedings and he took the late night feedings. Just like having that conversation with each other. You know, every Sunday we get together and it's a judgment-free space, and we say, okay, so let's check in what's happening this week. I have this and this and this. You have this and this and this. Okay, so you can take Lily to dance class this week. You can cook dinner on Tuesday. You can do – it seems so silly, but it completely changes your life and how you dedicate time to everything that you're trying to do. And it's actually increased my relationship with my daughter, because the energy that I then have available to give to her is so pure and so, you know, like patient and good. But we think if we don't do that, then they're not going to love us. Sorry, that was a super long answer.
No, I love it. I think we're gonna make an agreement. You, me, and all the listeners, no apologizing on here.
That's
it's an apology-free zone. And no, I love what you're saying too, because it's, it reminds me of conversations we've had about secure attachment and how with secure attachment, a big part of it is saying what your boundaries are, saying what your needs are, letting someone know when you do or don't like something and need something. And so you sound like you have a very securely attached relationship, which is awesome. And being able to say, I'm not going to be able to do this this week. You have it? Okay, great. And this week, and you also brought up such a good point about balance. I cannot tell you how many couples I've worked with who come into couples counseling wanting 50-50 and having to remind them that 50-50 is something that sometimes happens for a day. It's not normal. It's, there's usually going to be one partner or the other who's going to need a little bit more support, whether it be because of job demands or health or a trauma happening in the family or just general mood.
As long as you just, and you don't have to get stuck in that and see that as being the always, it, it doesn't have to be.
But you know, then it, I don't want to ignore the fact that not everyone has a partner.
True. Very true.
And that brings up a whole different dynamic when you've now got multiple roles to fill. And do you then, I'm kind of thinking this and also questioning, and this would be a really great thing to hear from our listeners too. Do you do like a self check-in? Do you kind of check in with yourself during the beginning of a week? What do I have coming up? Who in my support network can I ask to show up for me? And being willing to ask for help, whether it be friends, family, if you're blessed enough to be able to afford a sitter or a nanny or whatever that looks like. Like, I think it, it brings up that even if you're on your own doing the single mom thing, are you tapping into support networks that are there for you?
Yeah, if I can just, I have so much respect for single moms and I'm not likening myself to that in any way. But I grew up with a single parent household, a single mom. And I recognize the challenges that she faced in trying to play all of these roles. There were a lot of other things going on as well, but it was really difficult for her. And I try to remind myself of those times a lot, because my husband and I, our businesses are of such a type that we travel a lot. So for example, a month ago, he was away for 3 weeks. Then it's just goodness. You know, the buck begins and stops with me. My work hours don't change. My nothing here changes. And what I wish my parents had known to do, because it was a different time. There was just not so much speak and education about parenthood and raising kids and all of these helping guides that we have today. And what I try to incorporate when I am the single parent many times a year mm-hmm. is to just be honest with her. I never used to do that. And it ended up causing so much more difficulties and kind of fights between us, because I would get impatient with her, because I would feel like I'm tired and I'm overwhelmed and I'm not getting everywhere and I'm trying to do everything for her, but she's so ungrateful and all of that. Mm-hmm. And now I'm just honest with her. She will come sit next to me and she'll ask me, can we cuddle? And I'll say, you know what, honey, right now I'm not in a space to be everything you need from a mommy. Yeah. I need a moment, but you're welcome to hold my hand while I sit here and meditate. I read my book a little bit. Or she'll come into the kitchen and ask if she can help cook. And I'll say, you know what, thank you for offering, but not now. I just need a little bit of alone space. But feel free to come mm-hmm. and sit in the kitchen with your headphones if you want to watch something here or if you want to draw here. And just those small changes made such a huge difference for me, because there's nobody else I can mm-hmm. lean on in those periods to say, mm-hmm. hey, can you keep her busy? Hey, can you help? Right. Can you drive her somewhere? We live in a different country. We don't have family here. We don't have like grandparents that we can call. So it really just is us.
You know, in a way, if you think about it, we're deconstructing supermoms. So that is an excellent mom moment. Because if you think about it, you're teaching her boundaries. You're teaching her how to let people know when she does or does not want something. You're teaching her it's okay to say, I don't have the bandwidth or capability, but you're not making it about her. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You're saying, and I've done that, believe me, I've done that, where if it's really bad, it'll be just saying, I just can't. But
I've had those moments.
Right? I just can't. But in reality, like I think about the other day, I don't even remember what I was doing. I was doing something. I've always got a million projects going. And my daughter came in to my office and wanted to hang, just like, you know, you were describing. And I said, honey, I really have to finish this before dinner, but you're welcome to be in here. And so she kind of brought her little whatever she was doing and sat, and we were in space together, mm-hmm. but I still needed to attend to what I needed to attend to. It's always been so important to me to sustain my individuality and the things I'm passionate about, though. And I think this, in a way, is kind of me, I'm going to be a little disclosing here, but kind of me correcting what I wish my mom had done. Mm-hmm. I remember growing up kind of wishing my mom had more for herself, mm-hmm. that she did more to focus on herself. Mm-hmm. There was definitely, you know, historically she had a little bit more of like codependent type tendencies. Mm-hmm. And in the end, it made me feel more anxious for her as opposed to more cared for mm-hmm. in the end. And so that was something, and I've talked with her about this since then. So mom, if you're listening, but I think that did kind of drive not just my desire to do that for myself, but also a lot of the work I do with the moms that I work with in my practice.
Yeah, I totally get that.
It's good to have a holistic identity.
You have to. You absolutely have to. Mm-hmm.
Hi, Jean here. Did you know sensitive skin can be a major symptom of anxiety? That's why my line Figgy Beauty provides irritant-free skincare and brings back the luxury experience to sensitive souls like me with dry skin woes. Formulated with our hero ingredient rooibos, which is scientifically proven to calm and soothe, I like to call it nature's gift to sensitive skin. Head over to figgybeauty.com and check out our range today.
What's our next question? I'm so curious.
So this one was, and these are, it's funny, I posed it as, what's a question you have about being a supermom? And I was getting all these comments of people just kind of unloading what they sometimes struggle with. So April from Maryland said, working a 40-hour work week while still doing all the same things that stay-at-home moms do at the same time, and then feeling guilty when I can't possibly do them all, and then things fall to the wayside. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We've touched on today, I think we've touched on how to navigate passions, but I don't know if we really unloaded what it would be like to have to carry two full-time jobs. Because those who don't have the flexibility, I mean, I will self-disclose as even though I work a lot, I have some flexibility. And I'm getting the impression, because you were mentioning your gratitude before of having flexibility. What about when you're momming or parenting and that's not possible?
You mean when you're working an 8-to-5, you have to ask permission for when you go somewhere. Yeah, I get.
Yes, yes.
I mean, I think I have some opinions about this, but you, what do you think?
First of all, I just want to like empathize for those, because that is so hard. And I think recognizing that you don't have to do all the things that other people think you have to do. Mm-hmm. Like, it's okay not to sign your child up for 7 activities. It's okay not to send the Christmas card. It's okay to let certain things that you might categorically think of as, you know, mom duties or parenting duties, and realize that just having time together is, in my opinion, far more important than all those extra things that sometimes get placed on our shoulders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Again, my mom was a single parent and she worked this 8-to-5 work week. And, you know, it was way before the days where something like work from home or flexi time or those were words that didn't even exist. So, you know, she couldn't always pick us up from school. There were many times where I was at school in mornings when it's still dark, because that's the only time she could drop you off. Little disclosure, I was driving long before it was legal, because we literally had no other option. She couldn't get us all where we needed
you
to
rebel.
Be. So it was hard. And I have so much respect for that. The only thing I can really again say is, if you have a support structure, ask. Mm-hmm. But maybe focus more, because I know this helped me, on your child and what they think of you. If your little girl, little boy thinks you're, oh, mommy, I love you so much, or super mommy or whatever, and they're not complaining about not having extramural activities, or they think your horribly baked cupcakes are the best thing since, you know, we landed on the moon, that's really the juice that should be driving you. And I recently had a moment where I had misunderstood something culturally here. A big thing that needed to happen at school. And I didn't do that for my little girl. And she was the only one who didn't have that. And if I had known and understood, then of course I would have, you know. And I was so upset about that. And I felt so bad. And I was talking to her and my husband, about that. And she heard me, because I didn't think she was hearing me, but she did. And we walked back to the house and she took my hand. And we just walked, and it was such a wonderful moment, because the sun was shining and the dogs were running beside us. And I looked back to see something or something like that. And she tugged on my hand and she looked me straight in the eye and she said, "Mommy, don't look back, because you'll fall. Just go forward." And my heart just broke. And then she said, "Don't worry about these things in the school, Mommy. Take your mind off it. Don't look back." She's 6.
Oh my goodness.
It's like, wow. Okay. If she's giving me the okay, and if she has the emotional capacity to see this, then it really doesn't matter what pressure society is putting on me, because at the end of the day, I'm really actually doing this because I want my child to be happy. So if I can take my mind off all of the noise and focus on really what she took from this experience.
Right.
It just makes it so much more bearable, you know?
I think she gave the advice that we should have been giving. I mean, really, if you think about it, what would it be like if you can't do it all? You just can't possibly do it all. None of us can. What if you made a decision not to look back? What mm-hmm. if it was just even choosing, I think of like gratitude practice, even choosing one or two things that you enjoyed that day about being with your children. I'll say this was something when I became a mom. I don't love evaluations. This mm-hmm. is probably a highly sensitive thing. I don't like
me either. I am terrible at them. I used to yes. be horrible at exams and tests and
and yeah, just being told like you're really good at something, you're really bad at something, or just kind of like all of that. So I made a vow to myself that I wasn't going to try to fixate on whether I was a good mom or not. And instead, I just ask myself, did I have at least one moment where I enjoyed my children today?
Mm, that's a good one. Yeah.
And that removes the need for perfectionism. It removes the need to sign your child up for every intramural. Yeah. That's a hard
extramural.
Word to say. Extramural. Is it extra? Yeah, either way. but... And just, did I have a moment? And I'll have days where I work. I mean, yesterday I worked from, I was out the door by 9. I was in the house by 7. I had a recording in the evening. I didn't really get to see my kids until right before bedtime. Mm. And I don't love when that happens, but it happens. And so I made sure to go do a little snuggle on the couch and read the stories. And I had to realize I enjoyed that moment with them. And so if I focus on all the hours I couldn't be with them, I would drive myself crazy.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, so is there a moment where you got to enjoy them? Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes too, it makes me think of moments that are not enjoyable when things are stressful or you're overstimulated, they're overstimulated. And I remember one day where I was really frustrated. I was just having one of those days and I decided to dance with my kids in the kitchen. Like that was, and it was kind of like, let's just shake this stress out. Mm-hmm. And so I think sometimes leaning into the not okay mm-hmm. yeah. is a beautiful thing too. Like leaning into, today was a hard day. We didn't get to see each other or wow, we're all kind of at each other's throats today. Like, if we focus too much on trying to be good at something, it puts this inauthentic pressure instead of leaning into, wow, today was a hard day. Let's lean in with one another instead of leaning away and trying to focus on what we can't do.
And also it teaches them that you are not super mom. You also have feelings. You also have challenges yep. and limitations.
I don't want to be a super mom.
Yeah. And it's great for them to see that side of you because they need to humanize with you as well, you know, and we all have those days. Mm-hmm. I mean, the other day, it was just one of those days where everybody's late for the bus and I have so many meetings and it's my morning to be out of the house and I'm trying to get everybody organized and they're notorious for forgetting backpacks. Like I will put everything by the door. So she had a library book she had to take back. And I said to her, listen, you're in charge because daddy's going to forget the backpack. You need to take your backpack mm-hmm. and your library book. Okay. Mm-hmm. You need mm-hmm. to take your backpack and your library book. Got it? Got it. So you're in charge? Yes. Okay. What do you need to take when you get out of the house? My gloves. What? Are you kidding me? And I just had a moment. And she's like, Mommy, you need to take a deep breath in and a deep breath out. Just put your feet on the ground and just breathe. Do you feel better?
You're a future therapist on your hands.
But they need to see these moments because I think in their little right. world, they think, oh, it's only me that has these moments that are seemingly out of control, but mommy has them right. too and daddy has them too and mm-hmm. it's okay not yeah. to be okay.
And it's okay not to have the answers mm-hmm. right in the moment too. I think sometimes we put pressure on ourselves to, if they come to us with a big, heavy emotion, for us to make it better as quickly as possible. And I think taking time, wow, that's hard. Like, let's tell me more. I think, is it Rebecca Kennedy from Good Inside says that a lot?
Yeah.
Is that her name? she's wonderful. But maybe it's Becky Kennedy. Either way, the wonderful parenting therapist who has the book Good Inside, she's great. And she talks about, like, if your child comes to you with a big, heavy topic, it's okay to just say, tell me more. It's okay to just listen. Mm-hmm. And it's okay not to have the answers. And I think when we put pressure on ourselves to perform, that I think of supermom as this like action. When we think we're supposed to fulfill this action, I think sometimes you might miss out on the what's really happening in the moment.
Yeah, that's so true.
And really slowing down.
And moments go past so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
A big part of self-empowerment is knowing how to handle emotional manipulation, especially when it comes to something like gaslighting. The more you know, the more you can stand up to it. That's why the book Gaslighting Recovery for Women, the complete guide to recognizing manipulation and achieving freedom from emotional abuse, authored by our own Dr. Amelia Kelly, is a fabulous place to get started on learning more about this crucial issue. Check out the link in the episode description or head to Amazon.com and get your copy of Gaslighting Recovery for Women by Dr. Amelia Kelly today.
We have time for one more question.
Well, so as far as the other questions, it's funny. I had someone who is not a mom who had responded.
Oh, that's interesting.
And I thought what she said was interesting. She said, so this is Becky from New York. I have zero personal experience with motherhood, but here's my two cents. I have a deep appreciation about what it's like to be a mom and what it's like to be a mom when you are carrying the weight without a supportive partner. So this is someone kind of talking about not just single motherhood, but what is it like when moms are given an unequal distribution of responsibility? Because if you think about and what her question is bringing, what she's leaning us towards, like how do you excel in career and this, the idea of mental load, we have not talked about mental load. And when I mention mental load, what I mean is this, it's one thing to execute something. It's one thing to say, can you help me with the laundry? And then your partner does the laundry, for instance, but the pre-planning that goes into anything, whether it be events, coordinating doctor's appointments, being able to know what your child needs or wants for Christmas or birthday, or there's so much energy that goes into bearing mental load. And I think historically, and I'm not saying this should be the case, but I think historically women and mothers have taken a lot of the mental load on. And the process of letting go of the mental load, it's multifaceted. But one thing personally I can think of, it's funny, you were talking about getting ready for school. So I am really on it in the evening, and I do all the mommying things in the evening. And I actually let go of the whole getting ready for school in the morning. My husband actually gets my daughter ready for school in the morning. And it's funny, this part of me that feels like I don't want to be the super mom also feels like I need to explain myself about that, which is ridiculous. It's fine. He's a morning person. He's perfectly capable of getting her ready for school, right? He always puts a loose ponytail in her hair.
And that just drives you bonkers.
It drives me bonkers. And I'm always like, can you do this? Can I show you braids? I always want to like for picture day, I do get up early and I get her ready. She goes to school very early. What time does your daughter go to school out of curiosity?
Oh, no, this is Europe. Like 9 o'clock. What time? The bus comes to get her at 9 a.m. in the morning.
I would be all game for that. If it was 9, I'm on it because I am up then.
It will change now that she's going to the bigger school. It will be much earlier, yeah. But she's still in kindergarten. So,
okay. So my daughter has to be out the door by 7:30.
Oh, yeah. That would be our new routine, but we're not there yet.
Yes. And I'm already pre-planning once my son gets into school, I will probably start engaging and participating because I would never, the two of them in the morning would be too much. But it's funny letting go of the things that I don't always have to plan and prepare for. I can be okay with not knowing everything. And I think sometimes that can be difficult when for a long time we put the mental load on ourselves to do everything. Mm-hmm. And mind you, I am talking about if you have a partner and or even if you have really supportive family, friends, other people that are helping you mm-hmm. with this parenthood journey. Mm-hmm. So how do you feel about the whole mental load piece? How it feels to you to carry it, if you carry it, and also how it feels to let it go in the case of letting loose ponytails go to school.
Look, again, like I have real challenges with how much I can absorb and cannot. And mm-hmm. we have to be like cognizant of that. And mm-hmm. I've learned to let many things go, especially in our Sunday chats, you know, like the mental load. Mm-hmm. I would usually mm-hmm. say, for example, okay, you need to take Lily to dance class on Thursday, or you need to mm-hmm. cook dinner on Tuesday. But the mental load would be, I would still need to send the address for the dance class. I would need to tell somebody he's picking yes. her up. I would need to tell him, what are we cooking for dinner that night? And it's just over the years, our communication has just evolved to such a degree where I will now say, I need you. What I need from you this week is to take care of that. I don't care what we mm-hmm. eat. I don't care what the mm-hmm. menu is. I need you to take this as a whole and take care of that.
I love that.
Or she has dance class on Thursday. I don't know what she needs. I need you to mm-hmm. handle that. Like, you need to phone. Yes. You need to call. You need to. And although now that she's gotten a bit older, I do more on her side. He does a mm-hmm. lot more on the household side. That does contribute to her as well. Like, he cooks mm-hmm. probably 5 times a week.
Awesome.
He does all of the manly stuff around the house, of course, also. But I mean, he takes over a lot of the household responsibilities. He does a couple of mm-hmm. loads of laundry each week, which takes that off my shoulders as well. Mm-hmm. I think it's just really the communication of my husband's always telling me, you know, don't assume you're going to offend me. I'm a man. You need to tell me. I want you to tell me. Mm. I don't want you to like mm-hmm. hint or anything. Tell me what you need. And I will do exactly that. And mm-hmm. that's what I just try to do. I was like, I don't need you to cook dinner. I need you to take care of everything related to dinner. Like, I cannot do that
gosh.
This week.
I am dying to jump on what he said. You want to know why?
Tell me.
It's still mental load.
Yeah.
Tell me what you need. He sounds wonderful. I'm just, isn't this interesting? Yeah. Tell me what you need.
Yeah.
Versus if we're really going to let go of the mental load, we probably need to do a whole episode on this. If we're really going to let go of the mental load, they actually take notice on what is needed before True. We tell them.
True. Right. But I kind of disagree with that a little bit because mm-hmm. at the end of the day, communication is so important, and you learn Absolutely. To intuit what somebody needs through what you say the first time and how you express that. So, right. you know, like, I don't want him to be a fortune teller. I can't expect that of him. And it's vice versa as well. Like, I need mm-hmm. him to tell me what he wants as well. Like, if he right. were to tell me, wash the car, I take the car to a car wash and come back. But what he meant was get the seats vacuumed, get it valeted. Right. Like, so I hear what you're saying. And I think there are many situations that for sure do warrant that. But I just mm-hmm. don't want us to miss the part of how important it is to have that initial foundation communication.
Absolutely.
So that you don't mm-hmm. get to that stage where it's always this mental load. Am I making right. sense? I hope so.
You are. And well, no, I love the contrast here, because if you think about it, we're looking at the very beginning of where this supermom idea comes mm-hmm. from. If we are initially taking more mental load on because we've been culturally taught that, or because we've been, you know, it's society, it's maybe you can say biology too, because we are, you know, bearing the children. If you think about it, if we didn't take the mental load in the first place so naturally, there wouldn't be as much of a necessity for us to offload the mm-hmm. mental load and to ask for our needs to be met, which we should do. We should do exactly what you're saying. Mm. But it's interesting. A couple days ago, we went out to eat as a family, and I had a very highly stimulating day mentally. And the place we were originally going to go eat ended up being closed early, or something happened. By the time we got to the restaurant, I was way overwhelmed. And I looked at my husband. I said, "You order for the kids." He looked like, and he was fine doing it, but he looked as if I had asked him to give the server his kidney, because and after he said, "Wow, I could tell you're really overwhelmed because you asked me to order for the kids." And I was thinking, wow, what kind of standard am I setting where I'm always jumping in and ordering, that he, who is perfectly fine doing it, mm-hmm. wouldn't even think to do it because I'm always doing it. Mm-hmm. And yeah. so I agree, in order to offload the mental load and obliterate this supermom idea, we do need to do what you did mm-hmm. and communicate and say, "This is what I need." But it's interesting to think, at the very core of it, if we're always carrying it around,
yeah,
we also then have to offload it.
Yeah. You have to trust somebody with it. And I think that's sometimes the worst part of the stress is you don't want to let go of it. You want to, but you mm-hmm. don't want to.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. This was such an amazing episode. I think there's so much to unpack here. And I love that we have comments and questions that we didn't even get through. So maybe we should do a part two, because
agreed.
I think there's so much to say about motherhood and how that fits into our lives. So we should definitely come back to this.
Absolutely. Stay tuned.
Yeah, for sure. So what are you celebrating today?
You know, I want to celebrate the empathy my kids have. You know, we're talking mm-hmm. about our kids today, and the fact that I really, when I watch my kids with their friends and with us and with each other, I love how they have the space and the concern for whether or not someone else is okay. Mm-hmm. And they always think to stop and check. I just love that. That's the thing I think I'm most proud of for them. Mm-hmm. And that's my celebration.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love that. I love that. Mm-hmm. I think
And what about you?
I think I'm just celebrating that, you know, it's so great for me to see how my daughter is evolving into this little tiny being. Again, mm-hmm. the same as you with empathy for other people, but she really is a highly sensitive person and has, I think, a lot of kind of underlying mm-hmm. tendency toward being a little bit more anxious. And mm-hmm. just seeing how she navigates the world with that, you know, with mm-hmm. tools I never had and things that were never granted to, I'm just so happy that she has access to those, and I can see how it benefits her. And I'm so proud of her for that. So I'm going to celebrate that.
I love that. And the best advice ever given that she said earlier.
Yeah.
Don't look back. You might fall.
You might fall. Yeah. So yeah. Cute. Okay. So join us again next week for another episode here on The Sensitivity Doctors.